Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. They called it the Fertile Crescent for a reason, folks. The Middle East is the origin of wheat, barley, figs, pomegranates, dates, and many other heart-healthy, energy-boosting, and delicious foods. Here today to talk about it and the art of whipping up a fine Middle Eastern meal is the queen of Lebanese cuisine, Julianne Saguier, a.k.a. Julie Tabbouleh. Julie has an Emmy-nominated PBS cooking show series, Cooking with Julie Tabbouleh. She's a first-generation Lebanese-American who has spent her life immersed in the culture and cuisine of her heritage. She lives and cooks in New York's Finger Lakes region, and she's working on her first cookbook as we speak. Julie Tabbouleh, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
I am so happy to be here with you.
Now, should I call you by your real name, or do I call you Julie Tabbouleh?
You can call me Julie Tabbouleh. JT.
All right, JT. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment below our webpage, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can even email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we love your calls. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And, you know, the fun things about Food Friday is that people often bring food. And I don't know if I've seen a spread quite like this before.
Well, that's how the Lebanese do it.
You know, looking at your website, and the website is?
JulieTabbouleh.com, of course.
JulieTabbouleh.com. In looking at the site, one thing jumped out at me. There is a tremendous connection between food and family for you.
Yes, absolutely. My family is so important to me and directly related to the food that I do. And it really is an extension of the love that I have for my family, both in Lebanon and here. And it's just, you know, when I'm making the food and when I'm talking about the food and when I'm tasting the food, and it's just the family comes through. So yes, I definitely, my food would not be what it is unless I had the family that I have.
And they gave you your name.
And they gave
your
me
handy
my name.
Stage name.
Who would have thought? Yes.
And you're on TV in the everywhere, but also in this market on Create TV.
I am. I'm on the Albany PBS station.
WMHT. That
yes, and it's their Create TV station, which is public television's how-to lifestyle 24/7 channel. So I am on Create in Albany, and I have been receiving so many great emails and comments and questions from the viewers out here. So hello, Albany.
Shout out. You know, we know. I knew, anyway, that there was a strong Lebanese-American community in Utica.
Yes.
But I didn't realize, and you just told me this, Troy is also a strong Lebanese community.
Yes. So I've heard from many of my family members in Utica, where I was born and partially raised, have a lot of connections to a lot of Lebanese and Middle Eastern people in Troy. So I think that's fascinating. You know, there's these pockets that we find of our culture, like any culture, you know. So it's always fascinating for me to find new, you know, communities.
Well, the show is terrific. I've seen some clips on your site and others, and it's amazing that out of Central New York comes a very big league looking program,
right?
And it just goes to show you that there are some very big time shows that don't have to come out of the big city.
It's so true. I spent about 2 years developing the program, and I literally just spent weeks and weeks and weeks and every weekend and really just writing down all of my ideas and all my visions that I had for the program. And I really wanted it to be original, and I really wanted to have a different format and really something completely unique that I felt was on TV in the culinary marketplace. And I looked around me, and I'm inspired in the Finger Lakes, and I thought, well, oh, great, if I'm doing great, please, I'll go out to the vineyard. If I'm going, you know, doing something about eggplant, or I'll go out to the garden, or I'll go to the farmers. So we had all these natural, you know, resources and beautiful and breathtaking areas right at our fingertips. And I thought, well, that would be a big part of my program and bringing the audience along with me instead of just being in the kitchen and that's it. bring them along on the journey.
And the Finger Lakes are so beautiful anyways.
It's so beautiful. And people are so amazed that they're like, you're not in California? A lot of people think I'm out of California. They don't.
Not yet anyway.
Yeah, not yet anyway. Maybe. Who knows? But they're like, wow, this is upstate New York. I'm like, this is New York State. This is upstate New York. And it just goes to show that, an amazing and high quality, high definition national program can come out of, you know, the talent that we have and the people that we have right here. And also a lot due to my coincidental communications background.
Yeah, well, that's very helpful.
Also.
Indeed.
Yes.
But you love the food and you love to cook, and that's what comes through. And again, Julie Tabouli's program is on Create TV locally in this market and all across the country. Number to call is 800-348-2551. You have brought tremendous food. You made it. You didn't buy it.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let's take a call or two. I should say, if you'd like to see the food that Julie has brought with her today, go to WAMC.org and you can load up the video stream. We have a couple of cameras here and you can check it out. It's beautiful to look at and it smells delicious. Let's go to Sharon in Saratoga Springs. Sharon, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say real quick, because I'm just about to get to work, but Julie, I saw one of your programs where you did meat pies.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you how delicious they came out. I used a puff pastry.
Okay.
And a tzatziki sauce.
Yummy.
To serve them, and everyone loved them. So
I just wanted
to say thank you, and I appreciate your show. It really made me want to cook more authentic Middle Eastern food. So.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, that makes me so happy that I inspired you to make those dishes for your family. And they are so scrumptious as you experience for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, a satisfied customer. Well done. Thanks, Sharon. We appreciate the
call. Thanks, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
The number for you to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Sharon made meat pies. But from what I don't know much about Lebanese cuisine.
You
That's
will
why
now.
You're here. But beef is not a big part of that.
No, traditionally lamb, you know, but as we sort of blend the old world with the new world and all different sort of tastes that people have, you can certainly use beef. And I like to say that you can blend the two meats, you know, the lamb and the beef together, which is a really sort of lovely combination. And I think if you get the right lamb, I think people's sort of maybe not so great experiences with lamb have, you know, sort of turned them off from it because of where
How can you have a bad experience?
I know. I don't know. I love lamb, but I think from where it's from, I think from how it's prepared. But the Lebanese do lamb the best, and we really know how to prepare it. So if you use my recipes and you know follow how to use the lamb, I think that everybody will be more than satisfied with it. But if you don't, you know, if you're like, oh, no lamb, then no worries. You know, you can use the beef. So.
Fair enough. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Julie Tabouli is here, whose program is seen locally on Create TV and all across the country. The website, once again?
JulieTabouli.com.
Of course. Let's go to Danielle in Holyoke. Danielle, you're on.
Hi. I was recently traveling in Kansas City, Missouri. Apparently, there's a large Middle Eastern population there. And I ran across a product in a grocery there called Super Seeds, and they were described as some sort of melon seed, and they had this wonderful, savory Middle Eastern spice, and they reminded me of roasted pumpkin seeds, but not. They were much smaller, and I was just wondering if you'd heard of them and could elaborate on them, because I'd love to learn how to make them myself.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
That is called bizzard. And what that is, it refers to basically different sorts of Arabic roasted nuts and different types of pumpkin seeds. And I think the one that you're talking about, actually, it's my mom's, who you all know as Mama. It's one of her favorites. When I go to the specialty store, she asks me to find that. But it's, I'd honestly have to find out the exact melon that's coming from. But it basically, that's correct, like you said. said, and it's just it's really highly, you know, roasted and toasted. The spices can vary. They can be you know, they can be paprika, they can have cumin and coriander, they can have Aleppo pepper, which is a wonderful red pepper from Aleppo region in Syria. And so that's really what makes those seeds, I think, so sort of alluring to you, you know.
They were absolutely wonderful. I would love to see a recipe posted.
Yes. Well, I will work on that definitely for you.
And we'll see if we can post some of these on our website as well.
Yes.
So we have a Food Friday page, and a lot of these things you'll find right there at WAMC.org. And we'll, of course, link back to julietabouli.com. Tell you what, Mr. Zach, the engineer, let's take a short break here.
Thank you.
Lines are loaded. If you get a busy signal, hang in there and wait till somebody hangs up and then try again. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. More with Julie Tabouli. Yeah, all right, let's eat. We'll do that coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Terrapin Restaurant Rhinebeck, celebrating 50 years of new American cuisine, showcasing the seasonal bounty of the Hudson Valley. TerrapinRestaurant.com. Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more, ParadiseCopies.com. Larry's Southwestern Sauces, locally produced Mexican cooking sauces by cookbook author Larry Somke, available in New York, New England, and online, Larry'sSouthwesternSauces.com. And Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Fish bassist Mike Gordon in concert with his full band on April 5th, MassMocha.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And this is the portion of the show where our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, comes in. And we commence dining. And Julie Tabouli is here. What have you brought, Julie Tabouli?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to enjoy this luscious Lebanese lunch that I brought for both of you.
Alliteration. Nicely done.
I just want to step in and say that if you want to see what this looks like, go to WAMCA.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page where I took a really nice picture of all of this.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Awesome.
Nice. And that's Facebook.com/WAMC Radio.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, of course, I had to bring you my namesake dish, right?
Of course.
Which is my tabbouleh. I like to call it my taste bud tantalizing tabbouleh. And that is made with, I prefer the flat leaf parsley over the curly for both the texture and the taste.
Okay.
So tabbouleh is like the queen salata, queen salad in Lebanon. It's a freshly and very finely chopped fresh herb. We have the parsley, we have the fresh mint, we have tomatoes on the vine, we have scallions, the spring green onions.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and we have the bulgur wheat, which is the fine, it comes in fine, medium, and coarse.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer the fine, and I like a little bit. I don't like a lot. For people out there that are, you know, gluten-free, gluten-sensitive, or, you know, celiac, they can certainly use quinoa, which is, you know, really a big grain right now that is gluten-free and, you know, full of protein, and it's like a superfood, and it honestly tastes and acts and looks just like bulgur wheat, rather.
So you had mentioned to me as you were preparing this, and you literally prepared this in the studio before the show, that it's really important to prepare it right before you eat it.
Yes. What you want to do with tabbouleh, you can certainly, you know, prep and chop all your vegetables ahead of time and layer them. But you really want to toss it. You want to put the fresh lemon juice and the, you know, good quality olive oil and the sea salt and pepper in the fresh mint, because that's the one thing that you want to chop right before, too. Right before, you want your tabbouleh nice and light and refreshing and nice and, you know, kind of crunchy and not soaked and soggy. So you don't want to, you know, sort of put all the oil and lemon juice and all that and let it sit for days. And that's going to be what you sort of see in the store,
right,
in those containers, which is definitely not tabbouleh.
Well, I got to say, this is really amazing.
Yes.
And you can really taste the mint.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
It's really like, I feel like if you have tabbouleh somewhere, or if, let's say, you just forgot it and you're like, what's off here? And it's usually the mint. Usually there's no mint in it, you know, or they omitted it or they forgot it. And what we usually do traditionally in Lebanon and throughout the Middle East is we take these nice, fresh romaine heart lettuce leaves, and you sort of scoop up the tabbouleh so you have that nice sort of crispy, crunchy bite of the romaine lettuce with the tabbouleh salad.
Oh, brilliant.
And we also use little mini, like, cabbage leaves.
Yeah.
Or we use fresh from the vine grape leaves when they're in season, which will be in June. Nice, small, tender grape leaves are delicious with tabbouleh.
And there's plenty of grape leaves out where you're from, out in the Finger Lakes.
So
it works out very well. All right, let's take a call so I can eat. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Maggie in Albany. Maggie, you're on.
Hi, Julie. I love your show. I just want to congratulate you on, and it's so good to see somebody from New York State or city have a really, successful show. But I had a friend that was from Rochester, and he was Lebanese, and his one of his family members had a bakery. Mm-hmm. And they would make the bread fresh every day. Oh, my God. And he would cook. He would make tabbouleh fresh, just whip it up.
Yep.
And it was just wonderful. I love Middle Eastern food. I just wanted to ask, how did you get a show on PBS? Was that a difficult process?
Oh, that's a good question.
It was a very long process. Because of my communications background, I used to... really my whole life have been writing and producing and hosting for all sorts of different types of programs, including food. And then, several years ago, about, 7, 8 years, a year ago, maybe more, I realized that I realized there was no representation of Lebanese and Middle Eastern food on TV. And I decided then it was like, struck me. And I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. So because of that and I was really able to really put forth the vision for my program as a producer and communicate that in terms of how I wanted my program to be. So I think that definitely, I was doing, before my program, I was doing for years regular cooking segments on our local media. So I was doing, about 3 to 4 live and live-to-tape cooking segments, which were setting me up for my show because I was doing anywhere from 4 to 5 minute, 7, 8 minute shows that eventually I blossomed into episodes, So I think that's, so I think anybody out there, that it's sort of looking for, to do something like that, everything you do helps you to the next, obviously, in anything in life,
Exactly. Yeah. Where was that? In Syracuse area? Or were you from Syracuse?
Yeah, it was. It was in the Syracuse area where I was doing regular, live morning shows and evening shows, cooking segments. And I also started teaching. And that's how I began. I started teaching cooking classes. So I was, so I was just doing, I was doing it all, nonstop.
We have a fancy new Price Chopper market here, which I'm sure you've heard of Price Chopper. They call it Market Bistro, and they actually have a cooking school there, so that would be great.
Ooh.
If
you
get it
there and teach some Middle Eastern cooking. That'd be wonderful.
Maggie, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks, Maggie.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Well, Jessica, the producer, how's the tabbouleh?
Tasty.
It's amazing.
Taste bud tantalizing.
Oh.
And I never thought to have it in, this is a lettuce leaf.
Yes.
It's a really nice touch.
Yeah. It's the pita we really reserve for, you have a spread of mazza plates that I have prepared for you guys on the other end here.
Oh boy.
And I have the pita for you with that. So I think it's nice to have the lettuce or, the greens with the tabbouleh. I think sometimes the pita can weigh it down, So you have the pita for the mazza spreads that I have here for
so
you guys.
So what sort of preconceived notions have you been able to dispel among those of us not initiated in Middle Eastern cuisine?
Oh, gosh. I think when I first came out doing, my cooking classes and really, I come across it a little bit still now, but people generally didn't know what Lebanese was. They thought it was spicy. They were like, "Ooh, is it spicy?
Can it be spicy?
Is it hot? Hot food?" It's not so much, it can be spicy and hot depending upon the cook, I would say, and depending upon how that family made it. But generally speaking, Lebanese is a much more subtle flavoring. And I would say we have spices that we use, but it's more zesty and earthy and not like hot spicy. So that was a big thing because not a lot of people like spicy hot foods, you know?
That's true.
And so I had to say, no, it's not hot. It's not spicy, you know? It's really just more of sort of aromatic and subtly flavored and things like that. But, you know, if you want things with a kick, obviously you can add your cayenne and your, you know, red pepper flakes and all that kind of stuff to it.
There must be quite, as you go back a couple thousand years,
yeah,
there must be quite a lot of influences. You had Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you
yes.
had French.
Right.
It must all sort of go into the Lebanese cuisine.
It is. It is such a sort of, I think one of the most eclectic sort of culinary compilations that we thankfully have in our culture from the different countries and the different influences, most dominantly the French, which was the last to really influence the Lebanese and things like that. And it's really this. I think what Lebanese really makes it so distinct is there's so many similarities, I should say first, between all of our dishes, between the different regions of the Middle East. But there's a difference in the types of ingredients we use, the amount of the ingredients, the sort of diversification of the presentation. The Lebanese are really known for the refinement of dishes.
And the presentation
and
is lovely, what you have laid
you.
Out here.
Thank you.
And we'll try some in a moment.
Yes.
Let's take another call, though.
Okay.
1-800-348-2551. David in Delmar. David, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to you folks talking earlier. Ray, I think you made the point that beef is rare in Lebanese cooking.
Well, I've heard. I don't know much.
And Julie indicated that lamb is more common. But I was watching an episode of Chopped a number of months ago, and they were cooking up a goat chop. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, why can't you find goat in the local markets?
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to do a goat chop, where would you look for it?
Mm-hmm. Hi,
and
David.
Do you use it in Lebanese cooking?
We do. We do use goat as well as lamb. I would say that I just think that it's just not as, you know, quite frankly popular here. and I think that's why, you know, you're finding trouble trying to find goat and use goat meat. I think now more we're seeing goat milk, which a lot of people, you're finding that
goat
now
cheese.
You're, you know, goat cheese, of course. I think that you probably, your best bet is sort of like your local producers and purveyors and, you know, farmers and different co-ops and stuff to get really nice quality fresh goat. And you can certainly use it in swap of the lamb or the beef.
Do they taste similar?
They do. There's a similar taste and sort of tenderness, you know, between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really, you know, good for you. I mean, honestly, being raised on lamb more than beef, lamb agrees with me more and goat than beef does, you know.
It just looks so intriguing.
Yeah.
Because it's a really weird looking kind of chop, longer than a sheep and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just kind of.
Yeah.
Strange. But it looked really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if it's available in the listening area, someone will call very shortly and let you know. David, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Ellen in Pittsfield. Ellen.
Thanks, David.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay. My question is, I wonder if I could look at Julie's show on Create, which I did not know even, I knew I had Create on my television now, but I did not know about her show. I would love to see it, and I do not have a computer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It does come over the air.
Yes, it is. It is, Ellen. It's on Create TV in your area. You know, you can actually call your local PBS station, and you can speak to programming, and you can ask them for the local schedule. Because the thing is with public television is they all are in control of their own schedule. So, in other words, my show could be airing a different time for you than it is in somebody in Florida. So, but you can call them and just, you know, pick up the phone and call and ask, you know, if they have me in the schedule, and if it's currently not in, when they're going to be having me in the schedule. And you can see it that way, and they'll be, I'm sure, you know, they're for the public like yourself, so they should be more than happy to assist you with that.
Ellen, do you have cable TV, or do you watch with the old rabbit ears?
No, I have cable.
Okay, well, Create TV is a network, and basically when the TV stations went digital almost many years ago now, several years ago. Many of the channels, WMHT being one, have sub-channels. And so they have two or three sub-channels. Create is actually over the air in our market. I don't know if you get it in Pittsfield, but...
Yes, I do.
It's one of the digital channels. And they're being added by more and more cable channels. Mm-hmm. So you may want to call your cable provider there. 1-800-348-2551. Mary in Little Falls. Hi, Mary.
Thanks, Alan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have just a quick question. I have a friend who often, when she goes to Israel, she comes back with this really great spice. I don't know that I'm pronouncing it right. Is it za'atar?
Za'atar.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have some with me. It's in my bag right here.
Oh, my God.
It's in my spice bag. I'll get it out. I'll show Jessica and Ray. They can take a photo.
So it's sort of like reddish, right? Like, is it like from sumac or something like that? Am I right?
You are. You're on the right track, and it honestly depends upon, because your friend's from Israel, and it depends upon how they're making the za'atar spice.
Okay.
Za'atar translates to thyme. That's what the word means. And by definition, and it's a wild thyme and sumac spice, sesame seeds, and sea salt. Blend. And the type that we have in Lebanon that I grew up eating and that I most prefer is the one that's more heavily thyme-based. Then it's not as red. It's more green. So the one you're having looks like it has a little bit more sumac in it, which is fine. Sumac's a delicious spice. It sort of has this tart and tangy, lemony-like flavor to it. We use it in a lot of our dishes. But it is. It's a wonderful herb, ingredient.
I've actually tried to find it. Like, I've Googled it and tried to find it here in the States, and it seems almost impossible to get. Is that right?
No, you can find it actually in your. Do you have specialty? Do you know if you have any Middle Eastern or Mediterranean specialty food stores next to you in your area?
No, but I'm sure there are in Albany.
One in Albany, right over by Central and Fuller, somewhere over that way in Colony.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And you can find it online. There's a couple websites I can give to Ray and Jessica, and they can we can get that to you.
Sure.
That you can order it online. But I am seeing it now in some big supermarkets as well. Just kind of keep your eye, in the international aisles. But you'll definitely be able to get some. It is available here. And I'm sure, I don't know if it'll, there's certain brands that are better than the others, too. So I can give
them
some.
And how do I find out that website?
Oh, we'll put some links up on our Food Friday page at WMC.
Yep,
WMC.org.
Perfect. Okay.
Mary, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, let's before we get back to the calls, let's read one here from Facebook, and then let's have some food. What do you think, Jess?
Sounds great.
Okay. This is from Helena, who says, "Hi. A few years ago, my partner and I moved from the Middle Eastern cuisine-rich area of the south side of Chicago to this new Hudson Valley, which we love, but we do miss our huge selection of our favorite foods, so we've been making a lot of it on our own. At one of these restaurants in the suburbs of Chicago, we could get, we could get a shawarma wrap that came with a wonderful garlic sauce. We've since made our own shawarma, but would like to have this sauce as well. It had the consistency of what I imagine fluffy egg whites whipped with mayonnaise would be like, and it was incredibly garlicky without being overwhelming or extremely spicy, and due to the consistency, surprisingly light, it would melt right in your mouth. I've been searching online and found that this is a traditional sauce, but I have not found anything that came close to this texture or flavor. Does Chef Julie have any ideas? Maybe some sort of melted or whipped fat? Thanks, Helena."
Yes, I love this. I love this question. That is called toom. And toom is our traditional garlic dipping sauce in Lebanon and throughout the Middle East. And toom literally translates to garlic. So it is a garlic-based sauce. And depending upon, and it's an emulsion. So it's literally garlic, olive oil, and lemon to achieve that sort of thick, creamy consistency. There's no mayonnaise in it, so it's very deceiving that way and equally delicious, and that's why she said it's nice and light and fluffy. And there's variations of it as well, but essentially You can make it in a mortar and pestle, which I like to do. You could also make it in a food processor to get that whipped feeling, but of the sauce. But she can definitely make it. I have a recipe for it, and then she'll have the perfect sauce for her shawarma sandwich.
Will this be in your cookbook that you're working on?
Absolutely. That is one of the recipes.
All right. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Our guest is Chef Julie Tabbouli, who is on Create TV right here in this market and all across the country. What do you say we have something to eat there, producer?
Oh, I've been sitting here waiting for you to say
that. Oh, gosh, go ahead. Dude, don't be shy. What do we have here?
Should I describe the maza plates that I have for you all?
That would be nice.
Okay, so maza refers to our sort of, small plate time, and it's a time for all sorts of different dishes and conversation, which we're doing today. So it's perfect for our show. But I, of course, brought my heavenly hummus, which obviously so many people know out there, hummus. It is made, though, I use the dry chickpeas,
okay,
and I soak them overnight and I cook them. So you're going to taste the difference, and there's no sort of canned taste or that store-bought taste. And so I have my hummus, traditional hummus, topped with olive oil and paprika and fresh parsley.
It's a beautiful presentation.
The next spread is baba ganoush, which is the counterpart to hummus, and it's a roasted eggplant and garlic and tahini-based spread, and it's one of my favorites.
What do you mean a counterpart?
So I always feel like hummus is it's so popular and it's so like in the front seat, and everybody always forgets about baba ganoush and they don't know as much about baba ganoush. So counterpart, because it's essentially all the same ingredients almost that is in hummus, but instead of chickpeas you're using eggplant. But it's so different and diverse and really a depth of flavor. So I always think I want to bring baba ganoush to the forefront with hummus, like
if nothing else just to look at.
Yeah,
it's very pretty
and it's so good. It's that really smoky eggplant and garlic and it has tahini and parsley, and it's just delicious. And then the next one is a very unique, not as well known here in the United States, and hopefully I'm going to be making that more known through my show and through my book, but it's called Muhammada, and
I would try to say that, but I don't think I'll get it. Muhammada.
That was good.
Okay.
That was good. What it is, it's a fire roasted red pepper and walnut spicy spread, and you can see it's that like sort of crimson red color, and it's if you like roasted red peppers, and if you love roasted red peppers, you're definitely going to love this. And mine's a really different take on a traditional recipe for this, and I sort of simplified it and used less ingredients, and I just really love the taste. But it's fire roasted red peppers, it's roasted garlic is my recipe. I have toasted walnuts, which gives it that sort of texture and sort of thickness. And then I have a little bit of lemon juice just to wake the whole thing up. And then my secret spice is my Aleppo crushed red pepper that's in the Muhammada
jar. It's not a secret anymore.
It's not a secret.
No.
But that's a secret that, I'm sharing.
Okay, well, that's very nice of you. We're going to take a short break here. 1-800-348-2551. This gives us a chance to eat. And then I promise, back to the phones after we eat.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. 518-580-8080. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop. And Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods downtown every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Proctor's. SchenectadyGreenMarket.org.
Well, 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Julianne Seguir, a.k.a. Julie Tabbouleh, is here. Julie of the TV show on Create TV, which you can see locally. I believe it is on cable in the Time Warner market. I know it's over the air. It is a subchannel of WMHT, and it's all over the country. Nice to have her here today. And she brought some amazing food.
Yes.
And Jessica, why don't you set this up? Now, you said you were concerned. You had a little performance anxiety about how to handle a pita.
I did. I have an aunt who's Lebanese, and she taught me a long time ago, and I apologize that I had forgotten how to do it.
Okay.
It was so long ago. But she taught me that there was a certain way to scoop up hummus and baba ganoush
yes.
and other dips like that. There's
okay.
a certain way to do it.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to show you how.
All right.
I'm going to reenact
it. If you're watching,
it.
You can watch this online, by the way, if you wish.
How to scoop up the pita bread. All right, so you want to sort of, now I wedged up the pita bread, I should say. And I should mention, by the way, in Lebanon, we call it khibiz. So that's referring to our pocket bread, our pita
okay.
pocket bread. So you just sort of grab it with your thumb and your other fingers, just
okay.
like that. And you
okay.
sort of, yeah, kind of squish it together a little bit. So you create this, like, kind of scoop there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you
a
can
channel.
Kind of just like a plane almost, and you can just kind of go in.
What, that's very
know.
Aerodynamic.
Well, yeah.
Jess, this doesn't
then...
seem like rocket science. I got to be honest with you.
So we have our thumb on one side. We have our middle finger on the other side. We have, what is this? Our
pointer finger.
Pointer finger, thank you.
Index finger.
In the center, index finger, sort of holding it all together. And then you can kind of just go ahead, just dive right into one of those dips there, those Middle Eastern flavors mm. come through.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes it so much easier.
Doesn't
okay.
it? Yeah, and it's not, you
less
know,
messy.
No, that's a really good point. I think that you're bringing up, so hopefully we're teaching a lot of other people. And now you have, you know, the rest of the bread. You can use the other side to get,
can
you know,
you double dip?
More. You know, she's going to use.
She's double dipping, ladies and gentlemen.
The other side.
That's
right.
fine.
Don't tell my mother I
okay.
double dipped.
That's fine.
She just had the hummus, and now she's going for the baba ganoush.
Both delicious.
Yes.
Nice.
So, Ray, we have to make one for
yes,
you.
Yes, and I shall, but I also want to get some
okay.
calls in here.
Great.
1-800-348-2551. By the way, several people have called in, as I suggested, and you can get goat meat at the Schenectady Green Market and at Kashmir Bazaar, which would be, I guess, in Greenwich. And Michael, insert, no? In Albany. Okay, very good. And Michael in Syracuse says, Nora's Grocery on Route 2 in Latham also has it. So you can find goat if you need it. Let's go back to the calls. And Don in Red Hook. Don, you're up.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm curious about the lamb burger. I have a place up in Maine, and there's a great Middle Eastern restaurant there, and they have... They put a hamburger in pita bread, and they have ingredients to put on the lamb burger. I believe it's yogurt and cucumbers. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what the ratio of cucumbers and yogurt would be, mm-hmm. if that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And a paste. I believe it's feta cheese. Where do you get the paste, or do you make it yourself?
Does this sound familiar to you, Julie?
Yes, it does. It does. It's actually one of my favorites. I think that what he's referring to, and there's all sorts of variations on this lamb burger, as you say, but that really originates from one of our traditional kebabs called kifta. And kifta is lamb. And it is it's blended with finely diced onions and parsley, sea salt and pepper, and allspice. And it's very simple, and it's really important to use lamb for this recipe. I actually prefer lamb only. I don't like the way it tastes with beef. I think it's too dry with it. And it's usually traditionally put on a skewer. Into like a sausage-like shape, and we you know put it on the grill or you know in the oven, and you can make it into any shape, and that's you know possibly with this with this lamb burger that you had in this restaurant, you can make it into a patty. And the sauce that you're talking about is we make our homemade Lebanese yogurt, which is called Leban, it's very similar to the Greek yogurt. It's a strained and unstrained yogurt. Leban being unstrained and Lebni being strained. So it's this really lovely yogurt that you crush. What you want to do is you want to finely mash up a couple garlic cloves. And then you want to dice some Persian cucumbers are my cucumber of choice for this sauce, which we also make into a salad as well, and I'll talk about that. But the Persian cucumbers are a thinly skinned cucumber with minimal to no seeds, quite tasty, really lovely in the sauce. And then it also has fresh mint, lots of mint, and sea salt. So it's the yogurt, it's the garlic, sea salt, and the cucumbers. And honestly, it really depends on your preference. I like a lot of cucumbers if I'm having it like a chilled soup salad, we call it.
Okay.
If you want to sort of mince it up more finely for a sauce, you can do that as well. But it's up to you, you know.
Okay.
And I would definitely go for the Persian cucumbers. You can find them now in grocery stores. They're a smaller cucumber. And that would give you the taste that you would love. And it's absolutely out of sight with the lamb. So.
Yes.
Don, thanks.
What is this taste that they give you? Is that the paste?
I don't know if that's a cheese. You know what that is? That's the lebni. That's the thick, strange yogurt. So I'm thinking that's the lebni and not the cheese, because we call it, it can be called like a, or referred to as like a creamy sort of cheese. So I think that in this case, they strained the yogurt and made it into a thick yogurt and added the cucumbers and the garlic and the mint. And that's what you're tasting. And it's deceiving, but because it is very cheese-like. But it's not.
Okay.
Don,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Let's go to Rick and Warren. Rick, you're on with Julie Tabouli.
Hello. Let's see. One quick comment. It would be fun if you at some point review using locally grown. You mentioned the grape leaves. And red sumac is the same as Middle Eastern sumac.
Okay.
And if you were to source out a wild food forager, they could show you how to use it. American Indians are making like a lemonade with it.
Oh,
so it's a wild weed around here.
Yes.
But the question I have, or what I'd like to discuss, is falafel with you, because I'm a falafel fanatic.
Yay, falafel fanatic. I love it. Me too.
A lot of people don't realize that Lent, being that it's now Lent, it is a time for falafel.
Yes, absolutely.
And it is multicultural. It's multi-religious.
Yes.
Everybody uses it, but nobody, everybody's got their own take, I should say.
Yeah.
And I want to know what your take is. Are you chickpea or are you fava? You a lot of parsley? Do you ferment?
Are
you crispy on the outside, soft on the inside?
All right, we get the picture.
Okay. Well, falafel is it's very flavorful, but it is very finicky, both in the ways that people prepare it and the aficionados like yourself of falafel. I go for, you know, I used to blend. I first must say that when you're making a falafel recipe, it is always important to use dried beans, and you want to soak the beans and drain them off the next day and dry them, and then you're going to grind them. So there's no cooking. Please, I would say to everybody out there, do not use the canned chickpeas, because then you're going to have to use a binder like flour and some other stuff, and that's really going to take
away. So it's worth the extra time.
It is, and it's actually so easy and so much more economical when you think about it to get your dried beans.
You're also saying then, too, not to use chickpea flour because you want a coarser texture.
I do. Like it fluffy, and I used to blend the two. I used to do heavy on the chickpeas and a little bit of the fava beans, because it does, the fava beans, I should say, also known as the broad beans, and they do give a different sort of dynamic to the falafel. But then I've been changing it up and doing sometimes just chickpeas. But regardless if I use just chickpeas or chickpeas and fava beans, I do not do the fresh herbs in the falafel. My falafel is more earthy and zesty and spicy. So I have onions, garlic, and the signature spices like cumin, coriander, paprika, and I have mine with a little bit of a kick with some roasted red pepper flakes and cayenne. And because I don't prefer the herbs, not because I think it's equally tasty, but I do all the fresh herbs on the actual falafel sandwich.
Okay.
So I top it not with just like, you know, where you go and you can just get lettuce and tomato and onion. I do parsley on it and mint, and I do pickled turnips, which is called liffet. And I do scallions, and I do all these great fresh vegetables and herbs, and of course lots of tahini sauce. So that's why I don't do the fresh herbs in the falafel.
And so, so you're not green, and you don't make a green falafel.
I don't. No,
mine's
a brown. Mine's a brown.
Are you a ball or a patty?
it's a patty. I use the traditional falafel maker. You could sort of make it like you would meatballs, but pat it down slightly.
Yep.
And I don't do it too flat and I don't do it too round. I sort of do it right in between because I like it to be cooked through. And when you go too round with it, then it's going to, you know, be raw. It's not going to taste, I don't think, as ideal as you'd like your falafel to be. You want it crispy and crunchy on the outside and, you know.
Soft and light on the inside.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Rick.
Lovely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Well, now we're on the falafel motif. Let's go to Michael in Glens Falls. Michael, you're up.
Hey, I just had a simple question. I had lived in Israel for a period of time, and the falafel there is different than anything I've eaten in the States. I've tried, you know, Greek style, all sorts of Middle Eastern places. I was just curious, since you seem to know a lot about, you know, the falafel and the different ways to make it, if there was something that was more specific to that region of the Middle East that would make it different.
How did you have it when you were in Israel?
Generally speaking, it was served either in a laffa or in a pita as a ball with tahini, hummus. Usually they serve it with French fries and with cucumber and tomato diced up inside, which is another thing. I've never been to a place in the States that serves it with fries inside.
Yeah, that's really unique. I've honestly never had it that way. But, you know, who knows? There's always different ways to top falafel sandwiches with it, I guess. But I'm not, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to visit Israel like yourself. And honestly, I'm not quite sure about the way that they're making it. I think there's so much sort of momentum and movement happening throughout the Middle East and so many new ideas coming out in each region, which is fantastic. And people that are sort of playing with different, you know, traditional recipes and putting their own spins on it. So I really sort of know the way that, you know, my culture and, you know, stemming from my background makes it. But I'm always open to trying new ideas and, you know, different types of recipes too with the, when it comes to falafel. So.
All right.
Well, I appreciate your comment. And I would suggest that you do that. Try it in a pita with French fries, tahini, and diced up cucumber and tomato.
I'm going to try it. Thanks for the suggestion.
Thanks, Michael. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. What about drinking? What do you got in Lebanon for drinking?
I know I should have brought our most famous drink, as also known as the national drink of Lebanon, which is called Arak, which is spelled A-R-A-K.
Yeah.
And it's similar to it's a liquor, similar to Sambuca, I would say would be the closest. Yeah. And we sort of dilute it with a little bit of water.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a milky color. And we serve that along with the maza and throughout the whole meal. And, of course, we have our Lebanese coffee and Arabic coffee, you know, the Turkish, or we call it ahwa, that we serve with, like, cardamom. And, you know, we have different lemonades. And
how about beer?
The beer, oh, my gosh, there's one of my favorite beers. It's called Almaza, and it's a fantastic Lebanese beer. You can find it here. I actually helped promote it at a festival I was doing last summer.
Oh, yeah?
That went, and it's sort of like a light and refreshing, kind of like a Pilsner, I would describe it as, but it's called Almaza, A-L-M-A-Z-A. We have some wonderful wineries in Lebanon. Most famous, I would say, is Ksara. K-S-A-R-A winery, and there's some other wonderful wines coming out of Lebanon too. So there's a lot more, you know, to our cuisine.
Well, you know, you can learn many things that are wrong on the internet, and one of the things I learned, and you can tell me if it's wrong or right, is that in Lebanon, you don't generally serve drinks without some food with it.
I would say, you know, I think that could be, you know, I've always seen drinks with our food. Yeah. With our food. And
so you're going to be very drunk or very fat.
Right.
One or the other.
Well, our food's very good for you and very healthy, but there's always fresh water. I would say next to, we call it my water, but I'd say next to Uta, it is really like a, you know, national drink. I know it sounds sort of silly, but just ice cold water, you know.
It's a good thing.
Is always on the table.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time here. And by the way, this food is phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
And it's been so much fun having you here. If you want to find out more, the website, once again, Julie?
JulieTabouli.com. Everybody can find me on Facebook at Julie Tabouli, and keep on watching me on PBS and Create TV, and I'm working on my cookbook, and let's stay
connected.
When
is the cookbook out?
I don't have a date yet. I'm still working on it, so hopefully I can give more information about that soon.
All right, so we will find out. If we follow you on Facebook, we'll find out when it comes out. Okay, well, very good. If you want to find out more, you can, of course, go to our website, WAMC.org. We will have a link back to Julie's website as well. You could find out some more recipes and some more information about some of the things we've talked about today. So much fun having you on the show, Julie Tabouli.
So much fun to be here, Ray. Ray of sunshine.
Well, sometimes. Certainly today I'm in a better mood. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Colleen O'Connell took your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, who now knows how to use a pita properly, which is very nice. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. Next week, we're back. Alan will be here with an exciting edition of Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for a news update.